We'll see you next week. Stay tuned. You are listening to KFAI, 90.3 FM HD in Minneapolis and on the web at kfai.org. Stay tuned. Coming up next is The Wave Project.
You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM HD, Minneapolis-St. Paul, and on the web at kfai.org. For the next 60 minutes, you'll be hearing The Wave Project, KFAI's weekly community access hour. If you'd like to produce your own one-hour radio program, information on applying can be found at kfai.org/Wave Project. The views expressed on this program are those of the persons expressing them and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Fresh Air's Incorporated Board of Directors, volunteers, or staff.
Hi, I'm Sean.
And I'm Red.
We're here as local Twin Cities gun enthusiasts who are also leftists, politically speaking wise.
And
we're
here to broadly speaking.
Broadly speaking, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're a neo-dengist revanchist, and I'm a hardcore Maoist, but we put aside our differences to come today just to kind of talk about why we do this thing, because I think gun ownership is, broadly speaking, a thing of the conservative folk in our country. And I think a lot of liberal folk kind of blanch at the idea of gun ownership. I don't know.
Definitely, yeah. It's a struggle sometimes when you mention that you want to take care of your neighbors, but also, like, you know, care about all your different minority groups, and then also say that you like guns, so that you own an AR or more than just like a handgun or a shotgun. So,
yeah. But I mean, just broadly speaking, we're gonna start off today with just talking about kind of why, and there are a variety of reasons. We both are in a number of organizations with a lot of people who are, again, share similar politics, but also for a variety of reasons see gun ownership as something that's at the very least unfortunately necessary maybe in 2025. And then we'll get into, you know, how we got into guns, what guns we like, you know, that sort of thing.
Which also with these orgs, we don't represent them here, right?
Yeah, so we don't represent anybody.
We're just a couple lefties that are,
yeah, this is
that
just
talking about guns and stuff. So.
Sean and Red. I mean, I would say one of the big reasons for me, so I actually come from a military background. I was in the Marine Corps for a number of years, and I was like a good Eagle Scout, grew up wanting to serve my community, and joining the Marines was like a way to do that because I'd been propagandized, I'd been taught that that was like the thing. And broadly speaking, I thought that America was good. And then, you know, a number of illegal wars later, I actually wrote a book for the Navy once. I studied, after I left the Marines, I studied international law. Anyway, wrote a book for the Navy once and then eventually was just, left that all behind, right? Wanted to, like, didn't want to, you know, live the life of the sword anymore. And I was like, I'm not going to have anything to do with this. But I got back into it relatively recently for what I think a lot of people would say a rise of fascism that's happening. And I personally think that, like, if you ask a Native American or even a black person, they'd be like, a rise of fascism? What the fuck? What are you talking about? It's been here the whole time. Anyway, so that's, like, broadly speaking, kind of why I'm back in gun culture, as it were, but from the other side. How about yourself?
Yeah. You know, growing up into the kind of like the rise of the GWAT, the global war on terror, and mm-hmm. such, kind of get propagandized into seeing a lot of the military industrial complex influences of, like, you know, Call of Duty and things like mm-hmm. that, and your other, you know, high speed, low drag movies and stuff that are just, like, you know, really there to ingrain this, you know, increased militarization and, like, power fantasy involved with gun ownership,
yeah.
right? You know, from growing up as a kid and stuff, my, you know, I've been a private individual. Like, my family was not around guns and stuff. Like, the furthest time I was with guns was in the Scouts, right? The mm-hmm. Just handling little 22s and stuff just to work on marksmanship and things like that. And then I never really got into gun ownership until really recently, like, really still kind of new on the curve of, like, gun ownership relative to a lot of other people that have grown up around guns. Like, I only got into it, like, a few years back, really, like, just around not terribly long after the George Floyd protests, sure. right? And from then on, it was, like, I've always had this idea that people shouldn't rely on other people. Like, I don't rely on the state in any way to protect me, right? So there are bad actors out there. Like, you look at any sort of amount of history with any sort of, you know, discernment that, like, there are people out there that, like, as a person of color, do not want me alive,
right?
Like, they, like, that is, that might sound extreme, but it's really, like, that's a reality for a lot of people, is that, like, and something that we saw with multiple communities of color through the last few years of just, like, people want, like, just, they don't want these minority groups around. And I've been of the belief that it's important that these minority groups have the ability to protect themselves, right? Through means, because you can only run for so long, right? So, so I took a lot of time and effort through classes to learn about the law surrounding, you know, Minnesota, as well as, like, the federal laws, and then did a lot of practical application learning, right? Just, like, you know, you can only, one of my friends, he says, you can't shoot a spec sheet, right? So it's not enough to just, like, you know,
have the best gun, right, and assume you're going to do all
right. Yeah. Exactly, right? Like these aren't charms and stuff, right? Like, they aren't talismans or anything. Like, the only way these things work is if you put in the work to make them work for you,
yeah.
right? They're tools at the end of the day. So
it is interesting. You say it's not a talisman, but ideologically, for conservative people, it seems to be a talisman. Whereas in that, as long as they have the right to own a gun, literally every other right is on the table, or off the table, I guess, right? Like, they, I mean, we look now, like, everybody's lives are getting worse. We were talking about it before of just the economy's going nuts. A McDonald's fry costs $4.50 instead of $1.75 or whatever it was a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Everybody's lives are getting worse. People don't have guaranteed health care. People don't have guaranteed jobs. Everyone's getting poorer. People don't have guaranteed housing. But for people like for all the fathers-in-law that we have who are big-time Trump supporters and stuff, right? As long as they have their, it seems like as long as they have their, as long as the government's not coming to take their guns out of their homes, they don't care. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But that's just mm-hmm. that's just one difference with.
Like the stereotypical, like, kind of gun owner. Well, what do you imagine of, like, a gun owner, right? Like,
right.
they pick up the gun, they buy it, they maybe put, like, a couple hundred rounds through it. And that sounds like a couple hundred rounds to people that don't shoot a whole lot. It sounds like a lot, but it's really nothing, right? Like,
or they're the collectors and they have a basement full of guns. That if you had that many guns, like, you wouldn't – there's no way you've shot all those guns enough to be proficient in them. Which
you,
like,
only got two hands, right?
Right, like, right. And they all probably all have these dreams of, like, oh, everyone's – like, when it happens, everyone's going to come to my house and we'll defend it. And it's like, okay, buddy. But, like, you're a weirdo with a crazy gun-filled basement. You probably don't have tons of friends. Or if you do, they have their own gun-filled basements.
Right, right.
And because you posted about it on Instagram, I know where it is. So they're, good luck.
They're famously just called loot drops for that reason.
Loot drops, like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, that you mentioned – because, I did Scouts, and I did the – I think I got the rifle shooting and the shotgun shooting.
Oh, that's great.
Those are the two that you do. Mm-hmm. But, like, looking back – and I remember a while ago there was a news report of a Zionist summer camp. And, like, there wasn't anything crazy about it other than it was just a summer camp for young Zionists. Yeah. And, like, it just looked so much like Scout camp.
That's so
that I went to go to, and I'm like, man, I can just see kids getting indoctrinated into far right ideology, and I'm like, man, I also came from a very, very, very accepted version of far right ideology in the Boy Scouts. And like, there's and part of it, what's so sinister is like, there's so many good things I learned in Boy Scouts, right? Mm-hmm. Teamwork, knot tying, camping, right? Mountaineering or orienteering, all, like good stuff. And just and like, there's the citizenship in the nation, citizenship in the world. Like they like paint a veneer on it, but it is still just like a very pro America organization. And like, this isn't my, I'm not like getting on my high horse about the Boy Scouts, but like, it was just so similar that I'm like, oh man, we were just brought up in this fast and loose conservative America. Anyway,
America was the blueprint for, you know, Zionists and stuff.
Yeah, right, so. I mean, absolutely. But one of the reasons why now, for me, is that ICE has just like in the last few weeks set a new record for detentions and deportations. Over 65,000 people are now have been kidnapped by ICE, and even the reported numbers from the government indicate that like it's like a quarter or even less of these people even had a criminal record or a record other than just like some phony baloney immigration thing. It's very obviously just an excuse to be racist. And anyway, but that like it. I mean, you see in LA and in San Francisco, or sorry, Seattle, I've seen, and I think Chicago, where people like put signs up where people got grabbed by ICE to like, you know, warn and then gather information about it. And people were videotaping and everything like that. And as great as that is, like, we're still just videotaping people getting kidnapped. At some point, we need to stop people from getting kidnapped. Like, and we have de-escalated a few times sometimes, and we've unarrested a few people. Like, I've seen, like, I say we, I mean broadly around the country. Like, neighbors have gotten together and, like, stopped. But, like, it's still happening. And there's too many, it seems, I don't know why people are so willing to wait until it gets worse. Anyway.
Well, we should touch on what it means to like actually get out and actually be part of your community and stuff, probably after some music, right? So
yeah, let's listen to some music and we'll get back into that. We'll have John Brown's Body featuring Paul Robeson. And then when we get back, we'll talk about what we do in the community as leftist gun owners.
Mm-hmm.
Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory.
So this is Red with KFAI. So yeah, getting back into what we do as leftist gun owners and stuff. So I'm very much like, I consider myself kind of like almost like a scalpel when it comes to like of my toolkit of things. Like I am very direct about like very seriously being very just very like specific in what I do. Like sure. A lot of what everything in my background and stuff was like based around utility. I didn't have a lot of creativity. Like I have creativity, but like I don't have a lot of everything that I do to express myself is like still done through utility, and that's like kind of what I do with firearms and stuff. And it's
I will say that the other day you had some of your sketches over at my house, and you dropped them in amongst a pile of my kindergartner sketches, and I had a tough time.
Right.
Yeah, you're not the artist, but you're very utilitarian.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's so funny on, like, how my experience has been with firearms as a leftist. It's, like, it kind of went from just, like, just gun ownership and just kind of, like, just shooting the shit with firearms and stuff into really, like, now I'm kind of an instructor for a lot of people. Kind of seen as, I don't know how big I am in the broader community down here and stuff, but, or up here and stuff, but, like, yeah, I really put a lot of time and effort into teaching people about firearms, both from, like, you know, largely a lot of, like, beginners and stuff, mm-hmm. And getting them up to speed of just, like, getting, like, comfortable around firearms, but also even, like, people that are, like, been around firearms. Like I famously have a story where one of my buddies got out of the army and we went to go shoot, and he had I was still pretty new to firearms, so mm-hmm. I was still kind of like sussing out some things with his technique, and then like in retrospect I'm like, yeah, that's definitely like teacupping from like the 80s and stuff.
Very old style of shooting.
That's like, it's very much like if you look at like Jason Segel and stuff and you like saw some of his technique and stuff, it's like, oh, that looks much like that. And then you realize that's actually like terrible form nowadays because it's actually not doing anything for you. But he was very proud of the fact that like he was taught from some Navy SEALs guys that came to his base. And then a week later, he gave me a call after we went to go shoot, and he was like, so Red, it turns out those guys were messing with me. Can you actually teach me how to shoot? I'm like, yeah, we can go and shoot and stuff. So I make it a big effort to get as many people like familiar with firearms, because like one, my background not being around firearms, like I really wanted to be kind of like a role model for people, mm-hmm. to, especially for like a younger version of myself, to be able to like look up to and say like, hey, like I want to get into guns. What is that like?
How to start from a beginning. Yeah. A level zero character. How to level up. Yeah, I think that's especially important, again, just because so many folks who might now be, for a variety of reasons, wanting to learn more are just, they're not from the standard American conservative background where gun ownership is kind of a background, at least a background buzz, right, where they would have interacted with firearms at some point before. There's a lot of people in the organizations I'm in who are just like, well, I guess I'm a grown up and this country's not getting any better, so I should at least know how to disarm a weapon that I find. That perspective is important and valuable, I think, just showing that, like, look, I came from knowing nothing about any of this to now being an expert. You can train, you can, instruct others, everything, which mm-hmm. is just training. I don't know why I said it twice.
Mm-hmm. There's multiple words for the same thing. I talk to people. It's like,
have you heard about this? Synonyms?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Well,
it's unreal.
Just synonyms.
Who created English? Like, this
don't get me
garbage
started on
language.
English. Yeah. Don't get me started on that. Like, oh, man. Like, between that and the French, like, you know. But no, it's the, like, this is one thing that I talk about a lot of times. It's like, it's so confusing getting into guns sometimes because, like, you know how many labels there are for 9mm Luger ammo? It's 9mm, 9mm Parabellum, again, 9mm Luger. And then you have to take into account that there's also some, like, false friends, right? Like 9mm Short, which is 9mm Kurtz. That's actually 380 ACP. So it's really confusing trying to get into some of this stuff because it's like, all right, well, did I pick up the right ammo and stuff? And it's like, well, actually, like, not really. It's like most of the time nowadays you can, like, because like certain ammos are so common and stuff, it's easy to pick up like the right stuff, just like by, you know, if you have the most common stuff, hence why I kind of get people into Glocks and ARs. It's just like, all right, well, you can't really mess this up. Like, it's, you have the least amount of barriers in the way if you get get those firearms.
Stay basic. But
stay basic, right? Yeah, I mean, like, I drive basic. I'm very, like, I just wake up and, like, this is not my life, right? And that's another thing is that, like, leftists and stuff that I think we is important. Like, the difference in, like, gun culture for us is, like, I don't, you know, when I'm out and about, I don't live to carry. I carry to live, right? Because, like, I don't wake up and I think, oh, yeah, I get to wake up and I get to put on my gun and, like, I get to run around and, like, you know, do all think about all these things that I might do. And it's like, no, I just want to live. I just want to, like, go, you know, do what I want to do in my life, right? Like, live my best life.
I want to know that I'm going to come home tonight, even if some masked ICE agent is in my neighborhood. Like, I want to know that I'll be able to, or some masked person posing as an ICE agent,
which
we've seen reports of as well. Anyway,
It's been, it's such a challenge, like, sometimes in, I mean, there's challenges everywhere with, you know, approaching firearms for, like, leftists and stuff. Like, it's still a divisive thing, even amongst, like, we were just, 100%. Like, what we were talking about before, it's like, where do we draw the line between, like, like, how conservatives and leftists draw, like, lines of, like, sometimes we might have, like, same similar platitudes of, like, we hate the ATF, right? But, like, for entirely different reasons, right? Like, we're, depending on who's asking and stuff, it's like, we might be opposed to the government, but for, like, entirely different reasons.
Right.
So.
Yeah, like, a conservative person will hate the ATF because they make it, the ATF make it so you can't get a machine gun from a vending machine. Whereas a leftist will hate the ATF because it's it is police in the United States and therefore is basically, like, racist. It's just like any of the policies that it implements, just because of the way that class is broken down on racial barriers and stuff, will just end up being, you know, if there's a fine, if there's a fee, it just impacts poor people, which tend to be people of color in this country. Like, it just,
in Minnesota alone, we saw this with, like, Philando Castile, right? Like, someone that was actively, like, doing everything, right?
Yeah.
He even volunteered that he had a firearm,
right?
And still was killed,
right?
For doing everything right, right? In a sense that, like, like, the gun laws are never around to protect people, right?
Yeah.
You can do everything right and still be killed for just because you're black and driving, right?
Yeah. Doing everything right isn't as good as doing everything white.
Right.
Unfortunately. That's the country we live in. Sorry, I had to edit myself a little bit. So, but as members of various left-leaning organizations that do gun and gun-related stuff, there's a lot of training, right? So we'll go to range days. We'll just do intro-level stuff of, like, which ammunition does work for your gun. We'll do classes online about how to carry weapons, or what, like, you know, we'll help mentor each other and, like, oh, your use case is a daily carry because you're worried about X and Y, or your use case is your neighborhood protection, so you're going to have a gun in a safe at your house. Figuring out what works for you, what ammunition you need, what ammunition type you need, how to carry it, what slings, what holsters and stuff. Like, there's a lot of, it's like any community, right? If you just get into gaming, right? Like, there's, like, what are you doing? Nintendo? Yeah. You doing PlayStation, Xbox, right? Like, and it's good to have someone who knows what they're doing to bring you along so that you have the best time. And very crucially, in this sort of thing, a safe time, right? Like, that is a huge thing for anybody who's a gun owner or user, is just safety should be paramount. And that is one thing that I pride the groups that I've shot with on, is just, we've been very, very safe policing each other, which is, first of all, as communists, like, I don't like saying that we police each other, because ACAB, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
But we do keep each other safe on the range. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So sorry about that. Like, we don't. Anyway, but we do lots of training. But like, outside the range, we're also doing Stop the Bleed training. What else are we doing?
So Stop the Bleed and
that's like
firearms training.
Emergency first aid training.
Yeah, so Stop the Bleed is like a kind of, we don't go through, like, I think it's technically licensed through, like, the Red Cross, so, like, if you want the certificates and stuff.
Yeah.
But we do, like, kind of the informal version of just, like, do you know how to use a tourniquet? Do you know how right. to apply chest seals? When do you apply chest seals, right? And know things like, you know, don't apply a tourniquet to someone's neck, right? Like things like right. that.
And that's unfortunately like super important. Like just a couple months ago at the school here.
Right. Enunciation.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, and that's
maniacs in, anyway.
And that's like
we need to take care of each other. And, yeah. And yeah.
And that's one thing. Yeah, that's a great point that you bring up is that like, yeah, what we do is not we're not just like the NRA, like or not we, but like as leftist gun owners and stuff, like we aren't just like, you know, the NRA with like a different coat of red paint and stuff. It's like we focus not on just like firearms because like you can't there's so many problems that like. You can't solve with a firearm, right? Right? So, like, we teach, like, de-escalation. We teach pepper spray usage, right? Like, we emphasize that, like, there's different tools for different jobs. And, like, medical is such, like, a huge thing, right?
Huge.
Because, like at the end of the day, it's, you know, you can deal with a threat and stuff. But, like, if you still bleed out, you still bleed out,
yeah.
right? So, it's, like, there's other skills out there. And, like, even before all of that, greater, you know, other skills of just, like, networking and stuff and just, like, knowing
yeah.
how to... Be a part of your community of like, you know, we're seeing with like the SNAP benefits being withdrawn where it's like a lot of our community members are going without food and we can't like,
yeah.
you know, we want to make sure that everyone's connected. It's like, you know, it's hard to, you know, when you're used to just being able to buy, you know, $1.50 French fries and stuff and be able to have something right away. It's like, okay, now what do I do when I only have like 50 cents to
yeah.
go off of for, you know, today? It's like. You know, we want to get people connected with
yeah.
their community and kind of know, like, hey, here's some resources and stuff. And, you know, and that's something that, like, you know, like mutual aid is something we've brought up a lot where it's our some of the orgs that we're in, some of them are better at mutual aid than we are. Like,
mm-hmm.
they, like, what we do as individuals, we might think, oh, okay, I'll just donate to these food banks and stuff. But, like, if you donate strictly to these food banks, like, you know, if you donate, like, there's something like the difference between like donating to the food bank versus like actually like, giving money to the food banks or
yeah.
something like that. Basically, they know like how to get ins of like
yeah.
stretching that dollar way better than like I could ever
yep.
imagine you doing, right? Like that dollar for me goes, you know, toward that $1.50 French fries and stuff. For them, it's like getting like a whole pack of bread and stuff,
right?
Right? What that's an example, but yeah, like there's just so many other things besides. Like just shooting guns, right? Like, you know, as much as I love to talk about that and like get people up to speed on that, like there's so many other things that I want to people to know. It's like, hey,
yeah.
like
it seems universal in my experience. It's universal. That what a nonsense sentence that was. How could it be universal if it's in my experience? But I have yet in any of the various lefty gun groups or friends that I've gotten and had like it is very obvious that at most gun ownership to them is a facet, whereas like I know a lot of conservative people where it's like their whole deal. But like everyone that I know in these various organizations are also members of various other organizations of like Food Not Bombs and like mutual aid groups and like the groups that put on the first aid training, stuff like that. Like there's just so much. It's just so much more of a community focus. Everyone that I've met seems to be community focused, especially the goofball anarchists in our numbers. Who
they're great. Like
they're
yeah.
great. It's I still don't have
like a tendency that I lean towards.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have a title in that sense. So it's just kind of like yeah. But like we have a lot of anarchists that they do a lot of great work.
No, it's like, it's wonderful. In fact, one of the things I like about our lefty gun crews is that we will argue about guns and agree about politics, even if we don't actually agree about politics
yep.
all the time, because we're all pretty far left. But why argue about the difference between, you know, cultural yields in central China 1978 to 1980 when we could argue about Glock versus Smith & Wesson.
Oh, man, don't get me started on that.
Well.
Yeah. Unless you want to, yeah. Well.
We will get back to that on some of our favorite weapons and stuff after Nerd D with his new album Chunkadelic.
Sorry, not sorry that I'm looking this good. No stunting is a habit.
Yeah.
I'm a flying what I got. I'm a better who I want. Middle finger to a fascist. I'm too happy. You can't have it. I'm walking my own way like Dr. Facilier. Got black magic. Tell the whole game up in his head. That's inverted. I'm black maverick. Got grooves more than the average dude. Buff on static to relax my move. I'm groovy. I'm out here getting bigger. On the whim, I'm him. I'm a N I double gut earn. Make him bounce like Digger. Oh, Baba. Bitch that wake up with no Java. Bring that rain like a Mokada. About to run this whole blow like I'm Go Roger. My God, I'm good at this. Yeah, I sure don't miss. La Melo Hayes is no stopping. They all bopping. You know they rocking with me every bitty that I'm sending them. Cause I've been getting jiggy since the start of the millennium. Nah, 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 ay. Shake that thing that you got now, babe. Go and put it out. Turn around, be loud with it. Take a little space for yourself. Be proud of it. Everybody's got a bounce to the boogie and the boogie to the groove and the groove to the moment. And the moment is now to go lose your mind. This beat's plus size.
Chunkadelic. I just wanna give you something you can feel. I am Chunkadelic. Move your banging body if you know the deal. I am
Dick with it, baby. Got enough to make them really go crazy. Chubby hubby right on top of the biz. D's fat with the pH, cause I done got F's to give. Call me double XL with some extra riz. I'm excellent, the rest is mid, but keep working. My smile leave the hearts all burning. Big belly give shade while you're working.
If you want that funk, I could give you some. But you gotta tell me you want it. This is real big love. I could give it.
If you really got a need, but you have to say please.
Chunkadelic, I just wanna give you something you can feel. I am Chunkadelic. Move your banging body if you know the deal. I am
Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting Franck Vergrue with Iosis, Wednesday, December 10th. Multifaceted electronic artists, Franck Vergrue and Iosis bring Cascades to the Cedar stage. Cascades is a live audiovisual project inspired by the concept of waterfalls. Generative flows of pixels compose a unique musical experience through electronic instrumentation. Also appearing is Splitta. More information about Franck Vergrue and Iosis is available at thecedar.org.
Before the break, a little bit before the break, you mentioned that you carry to live rather than live to carry. Tell us more.
Yeah. So, yeah, kind of expanding on that, it's like...
Carry a firearm, that is.
Carry a firearm, right. Carrying a firearm, right?
Not carry the horror movie.
Oh, yeah, no. I can't, yeah. I'll skip my blurb about being scared of like real threats versus horror threats and stuff. But yeah, carrying to live, like, it's just like some people, for them, it's just like they feel the most comfortable like just having a gun on them all the time, and like
feel powerful.
They got the big iron. Right.
The government's come down here, tell me I can't have my gun.
Right.
That's why I carry.
Right. Oh, of course. And people really, you know, that's great if they you know, they wake, some people really wake up and they, the first thing they do is to be, put on their gun just like the same way they put on socks and stuff. And that's not really what I'm about, right? Because it's like for me, it's like, I, you know, if I carry around, I honestly rarely carry around the house and stuff. Carrying is more for something if I'm going out of the house and stuff, because I have other, be frank, it's because I have other tools at home besides like a handgun and stuff. Yeah. But you know,
chainsaw,
when I'm
claw hammer,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
Baseball bat. Yeah. Not, those aren't endorsements of any particular
board
item
with a nail
stuff.
In it.
Right, board. They get into some weird coup baton stuff with that. Yeah. But yeah, there's, you know, when I talk about like carrying and stuff, it's like, You're basically like, you know, so I'll start with the legal portion, which is that in Minnesota, you have to have a permit to carry. What's it called? That's the legal definition for it. Some people will call it kind of erroneously the, like, a CCW or like concealed carry weapon license, mm-hmm. or a license to carry or something like the LTC in different states. Each state has something a little bit different.
Are you down with LTC?
So
yeah, you know me.
Different LTC, carry. Right? So, thought I had to get it backtracked on constitutional carry. No, so, and that's like a different thing too, like constitutional carry. Each so one thing to contend with when it comes to carrying is that each state has different laws around,
sure.
that. So I'll focus on Minnesota's permit to carry system, how that works. So in order to carry a firearm on your person, you have to take a class. That's a permit to carry class, and then you have to pass the qualification that they have, and then you apply at your local sheriff's office for your county sheriff's office. That's important. It can't just be like a local police station. It has to be a county sheriff's office. You apply there, and then within 30 days, it's legally required that the sheriff's station approve or deny you. We are a will-issue state, so you have to, or shall-issue is the technical term. We are a shall-issue state. They shall get back to you within 30 days with either approval or denial of your permit to carry. So they run a background check. They basically ensure that, you know, whatever information that they gather on you is correct, and that like you're someone that is legally able to possess a firearm. And then at that point, you can walk around with a firearm, with, as long as you have in your possession your permit to carry, right? Mm-hmm. So we talk
it's
about
a pretty low standard.
If we're being honest,
as far as training wise, at least, right?
Oh, it's
the sheriff side of thing could be easily abused to keep a number of people from getting firearms at all, and probably is, or at least was for a long time. But like training wise, you don't have to do much, which is kind of scary.
Oh yeah,
because I would prefer. I mean, like it requires more hours behind the wheel to get a driver's license than it does to.
Infinitely more.
Yeah, which is like, I'm on board with, because like, I don't think we should be driving all these dang cars. Like, have you seen that numbers of how many people are killed by cars? We should all be riding bikes, ride the train.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'd love to take the train more often and take the buses again. Like, yeah. Oh, man. Like, yeah, that's...
We need to get some of them armored trains that they had in the Soviet Union. I'm all about that.
What was
about
it?
An armored train.
Snowpiercer? The Snowpiercer? The giant armored train they got in there?
Yeah, we're heading that way, aren't we?
We should head there. That'd be great.
Living right in the back eating those bugs.
I mean, like, if you look at the scenario, the background that they have in Snowpiercer, I think it's basically the same thing as Minnesota and, like, a good snow when you have
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
But, yeah, like...
Anyway.
Yeah, going back
carry to live.
Yeah, carry to live. Yeah, it's like, it's not like there's like a lot of really old, what we call FUD lore. It's basically like, you know, if you think of Elmer Fudd, where who's just like the stereotypical little hunter that really doesn't have any business
careful.
Like taking care of like rabbits and stuff.
Elmer Fudd's my kin. Yeah, that's my people you're talking about.
That's right. Right. Yeah. 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 That's. He looks just like Steve's granddad. Yeah. Just like Sean's granddad. So, but yeah, it's, when we talk about, like caring to live and stuff, it's just like, you have to look at like what type of stuff works for you. And like, you want to try and like live your lifestyle with as little change to your lifestyle as possible, right? Like it's if we're frank, like carrying a gun is not going to be any more comfortable than like going without the gun, right? Like it's always going to be something, like you're always carrying like almost half a pound or a pound of metal.
It's a burden. It's always going to be a burden that you're always going to be thinking about.
Yeah. And so kind of like learning how to dress. You don't want to try and dress around the gun. You want to try and like do what you would normally do in the clothes you want to normally wear to express yourself. But like now you've got a gun on you, right? Or maybe you have some medical on you. Maybe you have, you know, pepper spray and stuff. Like,
I will say 80% of my time spent in the local John Brown Gun Club is a thing I'm making up, has been checking each other's fits, doing fashion shows. Like you go into the dressing room, put on your concealed, and then put on an outfit and come out, and everybody claps and takes pictures and stuff like that.
Right, but, yeah.
I'll tell you, to this day, the only time that I concealed carry is when I have a slinky dress and I carry in my inner thigh, you know, just a little tiny PPK.
Yeah. Bit like, isn't that like very like Bond-esque and stuff, like James Bond, just like the Bond?
I'm sure I have no idea what you're talking about.
the least well-known person to carry a firearm, right?
Right.
Just like carrying, you have to figure out like your solution and stuff. Like there's always like we talk about trying to, like carrying is kind of like, there's so many things, like we're mostly talking about carrying firearms and stuff, but like we also want to like figure out how you want to carry like emergency medical and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's so many facets of like, you know, if you carry a firearm but you don't carry medical, like you should know. There's a one thing that I really should say more, and really is advice I need to take for myself, is like you need to be able to, if you know how to make holes in someone, you should know how to patch holes.
Sure.
Right.
Well, and just any medical situation could come up even without a gun being present. But yeah.
Exactly.
That's why I always have a big bag full of pills. Uppers, downers, everything in between.
Everything in between. Yeah. You never know. So caring to live is just like, it's just my thought of just, you want to be able to live your life. Like I'm not trying to make my life revolve around the gun. Like some old people, the FUDs and stuff, want to dress around the gun. They have like the fishing vest, but like for guns and stuff, it's just like all sorts of stuff. And like, you're not supposed to dress around the gun. Like, cause it comes back to like, if you hear about this idea of like the gray man, right? Like the most stereotypical, like, oh, like they sit in the farthest back corner, they're watching the door constantly, like this kind of like stereotypical like alpha guy and stuff.
The gray man is the concept of like always blending in, but it's very, very erroneously used by self-proclaimed alpha chud, like right-wing Joe Rogan listener types, of like, oh, I'm blending in. Like, it's very, it's like, I mean, we've all been to like a protest and you're like, oh, that man is clearly a cop, like, and it's just he's like wearing a little too big of a coat over what is not very well concealed armor, and he's like standing with his like arms up, holding like his hands are on his waist, like he's used to holding the radio there and stuff like that. You're like, nice try there, concealed guy.
Totally blending in with definitely part of the Antifa army instead of anything else. Definitely nothing ulterior or anything like that. So.
Yeah. But speaking of carry, what do you carry, or what do you like carrying? What are some of your faves?
Oh man, so I'm kind of, so my main thing I try and really live my example that I try and talk to people about. And so the Glock 19 is really kind of one of my favorites. It's just the go-to standard. It just has the least number of barriers. Like when you're, whatever gun you decide to carry and stuff, it's so important to shoot it and train with it and be proficient with it, because it's not just like something that you just keep on, like you shoot it a couple times, make sure it's kind of reliable, and then you just throw it in your waistband and go. It's like you need to be proficient with it, that God forbid you ever have to draw it, then you're assured that like any shots you make with it are going exactly where you want them to go.
Yeah.
Right.
You need to know how to use the tool. So Glock 19, that's a 9mm, right?
Yep, 9mm, quote unquote compact. They're not super small nowadays, depending on who's asking and stuff.
Does it have the shorter grip or the regular grip?
It's the shorter grip.
I like the shorter grip. Well, I like the full size, like longer.
Oh, so like the 17 size grips?
Yeah, I have a Glock 48, which has that, but it's a little skinnier.
Yeah, the skinnier.
I really like it.
Great alternative. Yeah, another great option.
Also shoots the same round. Probably uses the same magazines. It's got the narrower thing.
Yeah. I like the Glock 19 for
Would
that.
You say it's a good beginner, a good entry level?
Oh, yeah.
Someone getting into it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're not too expensive in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I mean, like,
there is several $100, but you could get much more expensive.
You can go, yeah, there's the concept of buy once, cry once that a lot of people try and talk about. You know, there's some fallacies in there of, like, you know, they're tools and stuff. They're going to need to be changed out at some point or another, or need
the
to
idea
replace.
Being buy a real nice one now. And then you don't have to upgrade it or anything like that. Buy once, cry once.
Yes.
But with a Glock, there's a lot of aftermarket stuff or modifications you can do. Not even modifications sounds like you're like filing stuff down to make it. No. Like, you just get new grips, and you can put a laser on there, like a better sight, right?
It's simple. Just some simple stuff. We just need, like, preferably get a red dot. It gives you some different, gives you better shot placement and stuff. Makes you faster to shoot with and stuff. But you know, if that's not an option for you and stuff, for either concealment or, you know, financial reasons and stuff, then at least have like a weapon light on it and stuff, be able to see and identify your threat, making sure that you're, you know, positively identifying that, like, that threat that you might see is actually a threat and not actually just like someone you care about,
right,
or someone that shouldn't be shot, right.
There's
a lot of other laws, stuff, that legal stuff I'll try and skip over, just because it's, there's like four, I'll skip over some of the pillars of stuff, like what makes self-defense, you know, the four pillars of self-defense. But yeah, like, just getting a good holster and a light, and then, you know, like, I'll be honest, I don't even carry a light with my handgun and stuff. I'll like try and carry like a pocket light and things like that.
Sure.
Like just a handheld light. There's different things you train around with them and stuff. But other than that, yeah, they.
I actually keep, I don't have a light either. I just keep a bandolier of traffic flares.
Yeah, there you go.
Psh, hold it up. Like.
Yeah, it's
like I'm descending into the alien ship.
Right. Something. Yeah. Yeah, that's my personal, like, carry firearm.
Sure.
That's one of the ones I like. It's definitely, like, that's the one that I'm most proficient with and stuff, and definitely one that I really recommend for people to get.
And it's a 9mm round, which is relatively easier to shoot as well.
Yes.
Some people are, you know, genuinely and appropriately scared of guns,
because
sometimes it's a big bang, and it's, which means, you know, is it hard to hold on to? And I would say the 9mm is a pretty good bang for your buck, right? Like, it's going to shoot what you need to shoot, but it's not going to be... It is appropriately powerful enough for, I would say, just about any user with adult-sized hands, I guess.
Every able-bodied person I know has been able to shoot 9mm with good accuracy and, like, within a short amount of time. It's not terribly... And it's one of the big things, too, is that it's very affordable.
It's affordable,
relatively.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and in my philosophy for firearms and stuff, like, to me, a pistol caliber is a pistol caliber. Like, again, coming back to FUDs and stuff, like, they're really big on, like, 45
ACP. Caliber is a big bullet. We'll
big bullet.
Big holes.
Yeah.
Big. Yeah.
And
which is like, okay. It also costs a lot more. It's a lot harder to shoot. I've shot 45. I shot 40. 40's not too bad, but 45 is a big...
It's not terribly bad, but, like, what am I gaining out of it?
Yeah, you're not gaining that much. Plus, with a 9mm, you can carry more rounds in your magazine.
That's the biggest thing, right? So, yeah, that's such a big thing, is just being able to carry more capacity too, right? Like, there's, you never know with, you know, people think that, like, oh, you know, more FUD lore stuff of like, oh, if you can't deal with the threat in, like, you know, 10 rounds or less and stuff, then, like, what are you doing with more ammo and stuff?
Yeah.
And it's like,
hopefully you're doing cardio. So you can
hopefully
get
you're doing
the hell
cardio
out of there.
Too. Yeah. But also, like, you know, you might have to deal with multiple threats, right? Like, it's not uncommon nowadays, right? Depending on what, I mean, like, you look at some of the bad actors and stuff that are just walking down the streets, like, literally waving Nazi flags.
Like Scott
and stuff.
Eastwood.
And Scott Eastwood, yeah.
He's like a bad actor.
Bad
actor. I'm sure he's fine. Sorry.
No. Like, actually. Like,
oh, masked agents. I see.
Masked agents. Yeah. People that are actually out to do harm and stuff, outside of just, like, to my eyes of, like, bad acting on screen. But, like, being able to discern that... you might have to deal with multiple threats, and it might not just take one shot to stop the threat. So having more capacity is important, as opposed to, you know, like a standard, you know, out of that carryable size, Glock 19 carries like 15 rounds in the magazine and then one in the chamber, whereas like a similar size 45 handgun is probably going to be closer to like 10, 12-ish plus one in the chamber. So by comparison, you're getting like, you know, what was that, 10, almost 15% more ammo and stuff. So,
yeah. Look. If you're out there and you're wondering, like, or you're just incredulous at this whole concept of some lefty guys having guns, I mean, just in the last couple minutes, we've gotten a little bit into the weeds on one type of gun and one type of ammunition, and there's so many. And the conservative folks are all about it. And the firearms are a thing that are more often than not used for bad. Or at least carried by, like you said, bad actors, and if this is an area of knowledge that is very foreign to you, I would recommend starting somewhere, just because the power differential between the conservatives in power at just about every level of government and people who wish there were more unions is very disparate. And they got a lot of guns, and it's scary. So you should start to learn a little bit about it. If for nothing else, you could – yeah, anyway.
Yeah, and adding on that too is just like even if you don't want to deal with like firearms like in a defensive sense, it's also good like you might just encounter a firearm when like you're visiting – family and stuff, right? And they may not have the same philosophy of like safety and like being able to
you know what, that's you want to be able to know what safe firearms handling looks like, so if grandpa is trying to show your kid how to use a gun, like, you know, right, maybe he should sober up before he does this. This doesn't seem a little safe, this seems a little unsafe. You should know. It is a shame that there's so much gun violence and so many guns. Honestly, as a gun owner, like, there's too many in this country. And I wish we lived in a country where people were cared enough that they didn't go on weird gun-toting shooting rampages and stuff. Like, it's very sad to me. But because of that, I think it's important that more of us get schooled in how to
be safe. Right?
Be safe, at the very least. And with that, we're now going to go to Minnesota Nice by Fanaka. And just a shout out real quick to our sponsor here for this show specifically, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, fighting Western imperialism since 1979. Now, they sent me a real big check last week, and I'm very excited about that. I hope you got yours. But
I think USPS lost it. So
doggone it. Anyway, Minnesota Nice by Fanaka.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just landed in the beautiful state of Minnesota. Temperature is now negative 15 degrees. Please enjoy your stay, and always remember,
put your M's up. Yes, yes, y'all. Here we go. Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome home. Yes, yes, y'all. Put your M's up. Put your M's up. And tell them,
hey, hey, hey.
Something about this place. Put your M's up. Come and get a taste. Woo! Nothing like sky tinted waters when I'm feeling down. Been all over the world, not a rolling stone to the hometown. They know, put it down for the hometown. Homegrown, homemade. Over here, sunshine and snow on the same day. Feel nice, cause I'm feeling alright. What is nice? It's a feeling inside, spreading good vibes, just the pride in your eyes. Celebrate staying alive, more than a mentality, but a loving reality. My people talk to strangers, opening doors, speak our language, dopeness, S-O-T-A, soda hospitality. Break time from work, grabbing Juicy Lucy's. What up, my peeps? M's up, hey. One more time for me.
Hey, 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 oh, oh, oh. Minnesota so nice in the summer and in the winter when it's cold, oh, oh, oh. You know. M-I-N-N-E-S-O-T-A. That's my home, no matter where I stray.
I put your M's up. In the Minneapolis, boots in the winter on the grill for real. I got my walleye dinner, the place to be. Grow your family tree. Midwest, fresh Midwest, dope. These 10,000 lakes give the people hope. Used to walk and date, dream by first step. Still do it today, and it makes me laugh. So come on over. The grass is green tonight, it's young, the flowers sprung tonight. We could be young and dumb, dance until we're feeling numb. College kids doing nothing all day. So the club's packed downtown always. And hockey mamas, soccer mamas, enough said. Memories around Lake Calhoun in my head. Give some dollars to the homeless, cause once I was jobless. Beautiful women, fellas agree, no lie. And if you don't get it, take a look outside. You ain't gotta be from here to feel the vibe. I put your M's up high.
Ay, 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 oh, oh, oh. Minnesota, so is cold. You know. M-I-N-N-E-S-O-T-A. I put your M's up. And you ain't gotta be from here to feel the vibe. Out of town folks feel the hype getting live. And I ain't got no accent, don't you know? You betcha, oh yeah. And so it goes, if you're pouring a drink, it's a pop, not a soda. The right neighbors help you out no matter drunk or sober. Whoa. So if you're passing by or you're calling home, put that one letter up, you are not alone. I'm so down, I put it down for my hometown.
And that was the first gun I sold to Hunter Biden. I didn't end up selling him more. Oh, we're back.
Right.
This has been a wonderful hour talking about two lefties who own guns. We've got a few minutes left. Anything you want to say to wrap up?
Be safe. Take care of your friends and family. And do right by them, and
none of us is free until all of us is free.
That's right.
And if we got masked agents locking folks up, and even just the justice system before that, I mean, we got the most prisoners in the world, and we've got the most homeless people in the world, like, and they're, I keep seeing the news pegs of, like, people, like, prisoners, inmates in Alabama, you know, working at McDonald's and stuff for like pennies on the dollar. Like,
yeah, insane.
This is the Burger Reich. Like, things are bad and only getting worse, and as they get more expensive, which is why I want to share that my favorite gun for concealed carry is, of course, the 80mm BM-8 Katyusha rocket launcher. I didn't build my own. I salvaged parts from museum pieces throughout the United States. It's a Russian rocket launcher.
That's
from
smart.
World War II.
Yeah.
You gotta
piece it out. It's just, you know,
takes just time. One piece at a time. And now I totally, absolutely, for real life, have a rocket launcher in my garage that's just waiting for Antifa Central headquarters to get back to me. I keep saying, let's have a revolution maybe tomorrow afternoon. And they say, no, they do the old liberal proverb of now is not the time. So I'm just waiting. Listen. This isn't like about gun rights. This is about human rights. I've got a patch. Mm-hmm. Gun rights are human rights. And like, we need to protect each other. And the thing that we need to protect each other from is armed and dangerous.
Yep.
And if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. So I don't know. Anything else?
I'm sure there's plenty of quips and, like, you know, little platitudes we could say. But yeah, just like, get connected with your friends and family. Stay in touch with them, really, like, and be prepared if you don't have access to, like, your cell phone in your pocket. You may have to look into other communication methods. I think we might have peaked with smoke signals and stuff, but
that is, like, another thing that a number of groups of us were doing, setting up mesh nets on the internet. We're doing radios, just to have alternative forms of communication. Because
get your technician license, get your ham license and stuff. It's not terribly difficult stuff, but yeah, being able to know more about your different communication methods, huge.
Yeah. But I think that's it for us. Next time, though, join us for the Roast of Charlie Kirk, sponsored by the League of Women Voters and DraftKings.
You've been listening to The Wave Project, KFAI's Community Access Hour. If you'd like to find out how you can produce your own one-hour radio program, check the KFAI website at kfai.org/waveproject. The Wave Project. It's anything you want it to be. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 FM St. Paul.
I just found out I'm listening to Fresh Air Community Radio. That's KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, St. Paul, at onlinekfai.org. And you're listening to...